Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers. Yes, that includes Spotify as well and YouTube. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I'm looking at something that you're probably not looking at, but you will in a second. First off, I got to introduce my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening.
And, you know, Nicole, you are everybody's favorite horror writer, but today we have everybody's favorite horror writer, director, actor, James Balsamo. You might want to say something so people can see that, James. It's Zoom.
Hey, everybody. James Balsamo here, CEO of Acid Bath Productions. You'll have to forgive me. I'm holding a giant eel from my film Killer Waves 2, made by Joe Castro. And you know, it sings, "It eels like the first time."
Very nice.
It eels like the very first time.
Foreigner would be proud. They're very proud. You know, last week we talked Shakespeare. Now we're going to talk as far away from Shakespeare as you can get. It'd still be kind of in the same art form, which is James Balsamo's movies, which are predominantly bloody, full of breasts and all sorts of bad taste, except for his latest series, Alien Danger, with Raven Von Slender, which I saw Alien Danger 1 and Alien Danger 2 at the Chinese Theater. We're going to talk about all that. Those movies are kid-friendly if you have psychotic kids. So before we get started, I did want to get my sponsor in here real quick. I finally did it. I finally used my coupon code, which you can use if you check out our description on any podcast catcher or on YouTube, and got a case of Raise energy drinks. These are the best. I've tried every energy drink known to man. I tried the Steven Seagal energy drink. I tried the energy drink with horny goat weed. I tried the energy drink shaped like a bomb. I've tried all the stuff. This is the best. Raise energy drinks. And it's the best tasting. It has the best effects. It wakes you right up. And the best part, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. Now they've added something else to the can, zero dyes. So you can't get this in the stores at like 7-Eleven. You can get this at gyms. You can get this at GNCs. But do what I do. Get 15% off. Use our coupon code. If you're listening to us on Spotify or another podcast catcher or YouTube, there's a code in there. Just click it. Get 15% off. I got the voodoo flavor, which I don't think Nicole has tried yet.
No, I haven't.
This is like a fruit punch.
I like fruit punch.
Raise. It'll raise your spirits.
It's delicious. And next time we're in studio, I will bring you a Raise Energy Drink voodoo can. And maybe you'll mix it with Fireball. I think that would be.
That sounds probably terrible.
You'd be surprised. I don't maybe know. Maybe we'll bring some vodka. Fruit punch and Fireball. I think that could work.
No fucking way.
What makes it for Fireball?
Well, Fireball's cinnamon, and cinnamon and fruit punch is going to taste terrible.
Okay.
I would mix
James,
it with
that. Do you know anything that mixes good with Fireball whiskey?
Tito's.
Fletch.
Oh, mix with the Fireball. Eggnog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I don't think that James is, I'm not, he's his dog is got his attention, but I'm not sure. Are you a big Fireball fan?
No, I'm not. Actually, I don't enjoy cinnamon.
Okay.
You know, I prefer Glenmorangie. I've got a little bit more of a sophisticated palate than Fireball.
Than us. Yeah, Nicole and I have no sophisticated
who drinks palate. Fireball. I just like it. It's fun, and it also gets you drunk pretty quickly.
And it does. You can't beat that.
So if somebody gave you like a nice snifter of $100 cognac and a shot of Fireball, Nicole, which would you take?
I don't like cognac. You'd have to say tequila. If it was a fine tequila, like we got some 1942 there, I'll take the tequila.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what if it was a twisted snifter, though?
Was a twisted snifter?
I think it's a takeoff of Twisted Sister, I think, is what's going on.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to understand, like, by the way, I have to warn you and the audience. We're going to be talking a lot of metal. We're going to be talking a lot of horror. We're going to be talking a lot of wrestling tonight. So a lot of stuff going on. So
a lot of fire over your head. It's all right.
James actually had one of the members of Guar in his first movie, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, Dave.
How did you hook up with those guys?
I sent Dave Brocky an email, and his manager, Jack Flanagan at the time, both came down from Virginia, and they spent like 24 hours with me. I was 25 years old, and I was a Guar fan since I was 13, so it was incredible, and that helped complete my first feature, Hack Job, which just hit its 10-year anniversary, available now, Walmart, Best Buy, everywhere DVDs are sold, and also on Blu-ray. And don't forget to go to jamesbalsamo.com and pick up your copy there. I mean...
Is that where you get them? Because I was looking for acidbathproductions.com, and apparently that's no longer.
It's gone. Tragic story. Carmen Capobianco, who is... like family to me, unfortunately passed away, and he was running my website through his umbrella. And so unfortunately, when he passed away, he, you know, couldn't get me the codes or whatever in time. So that acid bath, the website sadly dissolved. It sunk into its own acid bath. But now, through those bubbles, jamesbalsamo.com has risen and become a phoenix of merchandise. So you want t-shirts, you want books, you want hot sauce, you go to jamesbalsamo.com.
You got hot sauce. Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
The man's a merchandising machine, but let's back up a little bit. Now you grew up in New York. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nicole.
What is the hot sauce like? Like what brands are similar?
Oh, Heartbreaking Dawn was the company that made it. So it actually had a beautiful flavor. So it's like, it's like a nice Cholula.
Okay.
Sounds good. We might have to try some of that and have some of that with Fireball. Maybe that mixes up with Fireball.
A spicy night. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be. Yeah. So you'll be vomiting up flames at the end of the night. Who knows? But James, now let's back up. Now you were this actually is a good segue if people remember the old commercial, but. The hot sauce is made by a man from New York City?
New York City.
Get a rope.
I put that shit on everything.
Right. But you grew up in New York.
I sure did. Yep.
Let me take a wild guess. Italian?
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. We have a wiener.
Yes. The last name was the giveaway, yeah. But from what I understand now, Nicole, what was the thing that started you when you even before you started writing, you're like read something, you're like, I want to do that. I want to be the person that creates that.
The combination of when I first started writing, I was a teenager, and my stories were very similar to Stephen King and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm kind of a mix between the two.
Okay, James has a similar story because when he was a kid, he watched Friday the 13th Part 3, and that's what inspired him to be a filmmaker. Am I correct?
It's true, yeah. You gotta love a good sequel. You know,
I don't think I've ever seen 3 all the way through.
3 is good. I like 3. It's one of my favorites.
There's a scene where Voorhees puts a girl on a meat hook, and I was hooked. That was it.
Does the hook come through the screen? Is that what happens?
Yeah, it's a very, very 3D. You know,
and
it was the first core. One it was core to my development, Rancor.
And that's the first one where you had the mask on.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. The hockey mask all comes from there.
Now, was that the first Friday the 13th you saw, or was that just...
That was the first Friday the 13th that I saw. Yeah, it was on TV. Channel 9 used to play a bunch of horror movies. They used to play Dream Warriors, which is pretty cool because I was filming with Ken Sagos yesterday from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4 for my new film, It Wants Blood 2. It Wants Blood in the Hood. So,
It Wants Blood is in the Hood now?
It's in the Hood, yeah. After we filmed with The Godfather, D'Lo Brown, and Coolio, it took a turn downtown. So we're going to the Hood.
Okay. I met Ken Sagos. He's a great guy. I actually ordained Rodney Eastman's wedding last year.
Oh, nice.
That's and cool. All the Dream Warriors were there. Jennifer Rubin, Ken, it was at a horror convention. And that's where, you really, people get to know you was at horror conventions. You really got things going. But before that, you were in the Performing Arts High School. You're the second guest we've had that was in the Performing Arts High School that was in the movie Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a fun school. They're like, you don't need to know much about history. You don't need to know much about science books. But you need to know how to act or we'll kill you. And so that's kind of how it went down. Jennifer is great, though, also. She's in my other film, You're Melting. And that has Loreen Landon's first nude scene ever. At the ripe age of 194, she gets, and I mean, what a sight. No, really.
That's right up my alley.
Yeah, no, Loreen Landon is stunning, actually. She's only about 40, so it's great.
Yeah, well, the 40 is the new 192.
That's right. Who's counting? I know I'm not.
Well, we had.
I never learned how to count, is what I'm saying. It's a confessional. I'm sorry, I can't read either.
Yeah, we had our stand-up comic Sabine Quarterman here last year, and she went to the Fame School, and she went there with Timothy Chalamet. Were there any famous classmates you went with?
Yeah, I went with one of the kids from Dream Street. Do you remember the knockoff boy band? They had Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and then Dream Street.
After 98 degrees, I stopped masturbating.
That's right. Yeah. So, which was really funny because he was a gothic kid and he used to walk around high school with these vampire fangs. And then it was like, wait, Chris with the fangs is in Dream Street now? Oh, okay.
Well, he did learn how to sing and dance there. I mean, I'm sure you learned how to sing and dance too, right?
I did. I learned how to box step there and now I'm a boxer.
Well, you're definitely a performer, that's for sure, and that's that's evident in everything that I've seen you. And you're a big ham, but you know what you're doing.
That's right. I'm a cut above the rest.
The bad puns, everything's hitting and clicking. But from the sublime to the ridiculous, uh-huh. You went from Fame, from the Fame High School, and learning all these classical training. You also studied at the Lee Strasberg Institute as well.
I did. That was amazing. You know, I had some really good professors there, and I really learned improv from that school. So that's one of the things that I believe I excel in, is being quick on your toes. You know what I mean? You don't take time to think about it. Just let it fly out of your brain. And that's how I make all my films. Who needs a script? Get out there and make a movie, damn it.
So these are all just things right off the top of your head, no rewrites.
Oh yeah, the best magic comes from there. You know, I like to write a treatment, and then I just like to shoot it. That's how I do it.
Now, are you method coming from the Strasberg Institute? Are you really
I am actually.
Al Pacino?
It's true. That is how I prefer to do it. You know, methadone. I'm getting clean. Don't
your character in Alien Danger with Ray Van Slender is a very hungry guy. So, yeah. And I know you're directing, so you're doing everything else, but you're like, everybody, can you wait a moment? I really have to get in my hungry state. And
oh, yeah.
Really Daniel Day-Lewis sort of thing.
I probably packed on 30 pounds eating all those slug sandwiches.
Yeah. But from the sublime to the ridiculous, as I said, you had all this proper acting training, really top of the line, amazing training. And then you went to work for Troma.
I know, right? Threw it all away, right in the trash.
Well, I'm not saying that, but.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because as an actor, nothing is promised to you. So it's like a chef. No matter how well you train to cook, you still have to buy ingredients, which they don't tell you as an actor. They think, if you audition, you'll just be cooking great culinary meals. But I got tired of auditioning. And so I went to Troma, learned how to make a movie,
And then I spread my wings after taking Lloyd Kaufman's trash out for a year and started making my own damn movie.
Now, you did take out Lloyd Kaufman's trash. Was there anything unusual in that trash from time to time?
I signed an NDA. You don't want to know about it. All those hooker shoes I can't mention. Oh, no!
Well, I would imagine some of the stuff on the sets and the blood and all the gore and vomit in the movies. There's probably some weird things that you took out.
Oh, yeah. Lloyd was great. And Michael Hurst was a sweetheart, and so was his wife, Maris. So, you know, it was a great learning experience, and I'd do it all over again.
Now, you know, as I said, you were properly trained, at you know, the Fame School. And what is the name of the Fame School? I keep saying the Fame School is.
Oh, it's, oh, boy. What is it?
The New York Center for
Professional Performing Arts High School. That's what it was.
Right. And the Lee Strasberg Institute. Were there times where you're like assisting on the trauma films and you're like, and you knew a better way to do it? And, you know,
what's funny? It was the least of my concern. When I'm on somebody else's project, I really try not to step in. I mean, if I see somebody on fire and they're not rolling, I might, you know what I mean? Say something quietly to the director, you know what I mean? But if I'm a hired gun, it's not my, you know, it's not my bag. A lot of times there's too many chefs in the kitchen making indie film and everybody thinks they know how to do everything better. Personally, when I have somebody on set that's a director, I go up to them and they, if they're trying to help, I say, do I knock the dick out of your mouth when you're working? Kind of shut the fuck up, okay? I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for 15 years. I appreciate you're trying to help, but please get away from me. The singer of Overkill used to do that to people. It blew me away. So I hung out with Overkill a few times.
Right.
And, fans would come up to the singer. They'd come up to Bobby and they'd be like, wow, I'm a big fan. He'd be like, oh, that's nice. And when they would proceed to talk to him, he says, get the fuck away from me. It's amazing. I've never seen anybody do that. I wish I had that kind of candor, but sadly I'm too nice for that. So,
and by the way, I did go up to him after the premiere and said, yeah, I really like your movie. And then now we're talking for an hour. So, you know, he didn't tell me to fuck off. So I don't know if that's, you learned my lesson from the guy from Overkill.
Yeah.
But I did like the movie and I really, I mean, it's in the, but you actually played the Toxic Avenger, which is, has to be just an honor for a guy who grew up with the cartoon.
Oh yeah. Whenever you see hairy forearmed Italian Toxie, you know, it's me. So it was cool. I played the Toxic Avenger over 7 times now, in trauma promos and DVDs and stuff like that. And the last one I did was probably like 6 years ago, long, long after I stopped working for Trauma. And I did a bit with Tiffany Shepis at a Rockin' Shock, which is sadly no longer around. It was a Boston convention, a really fun one. So that was a blast. I really mopped up at that show, let me tell you.
Well, go ahead, Nicole.
I was going to say, do you have a character that you played that is your all-time favorite or a collection of characters?
You know what? I often play slightly mutated characters of myself because I'm lazy. So this new character that I'm doing in Alien Danger called Ipa the Nude, and I very much wear clothes because it's a children's movie, where I play a blue alien who hops everywhere I go. It's very demanding because, like I said, I'm lazy, and the character hops, and he's very animated, so that's... It's a challenging role, but it's really fun. It's really fun to be a character and be blue and everybody wants to touch your pointy ears and, you know, lovely voice. So, you know, that's probably fun. That's probably my new favorite character. And then I like playing Tony Canone, who is a Playboy millionaire from Bite School. Herschel Gordon Lewis played my father. And we started shooting a sequel and then it mutated into a spinoff. So now there's a film called From Dusk Till Bong, which will premiere next month. I hope you guys come. And that's got The Godfather in it. And Spat, the talking bat puppet, is back from Bite School. And that's a really fun one. So,
And lest people think you dug up Marlon Brando from the dead, you're talking about The Godfather of the Wrestler.
I am.
Yes, I just.
But I also dug up Marlon Brando, who you'll see in my new movie.
Oh, okay.
The Corpse of Marlon Brando.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad. I can't wait. Brando. I can't wait to check it out. Check that out.
Yeah.
Well, that goes.
I'm going to make you a trailer you can't refuse.
But I mean, you sell your trailers. Your trailers on Vimeo for sale.
Oh yeah, there's a whole movie. I made a whole movie out of trailers. It's called Trailers of James Balsamo, and you can get that at Best Buy right now. What are you waiting for? Hitch onto that trailer movie.
That's on Best Buy. I think there's a collection of your topless scenes too. Not yours, but the scenes that you shot that are.
Oh yeah, breasts. Don't worry. My nipples are in there too. It's called Sexy Time. It's my breast work. Certainly my best-selling work, which I'm always surprised about. I'm like, why do I work so hard?
That, never underestimate the power of masturbation. Don't undersell it. There's a reason Mr. Skin is a billionaire.
That's true. Which I'm on, which I was very proud of, that there is a James Balsamo section on Mr. Skin. So
is it really?
Yeah, huh? Yeah. If you type my name into Mr. Skin, you'll see some things.
Now, is it Mr. Man or Mr. Skin? Because I know they have one now for male duty.
Oh, do they? Well, I'm sure I'm on that too. So, right. But Mr. Skin, I'm on. So,
oh, good. Good for you. I thought it was all female, but good for you. You broke that. You know what? Why be binary? We broke that binary. The glass ceiling with James Balsamo, his luscious breasts.
That's it.
Which were I was trying to find. Where you shaved your body hair on YouTube, I couldn't find it.
Oh, I'll send you a link to that disaster.
I did a video for
BuzzFeed, and of course it's got millions of views, and it's a video on what it would be like if guys had to shave like women. And so they shaved me for BuzzFeed. And so it's like a crazy watched, you know, multi-million video for BuzzFeed where they shave me. So if that's your thing, go to the internet.
I have a friend who's got a very hairy back, and they asked me to shave them once, and I was just like, I think this might be the test of our friendship.
Oh yeah.
So I felt bad for them, so I did help them shave their back, but I was like really like cringing the whole time.
Oh yeah.
How hairy was his back?
Pretty hairy. Yeah. Oh. But not too hairy because obviously he shaves it periodically, but it was pretty hairy. It was more hair than I have on my legs at any given time.
There you go.
Like Ron Jeremy hairy or?
A little bit less. Close, but a little bit less. If Ron Jeremy had shaved 3 months ago and grown back hair in the process.
Mm. Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah.
That, it was like, about there. That long.
Ooh, James, come on. We're both Italian, and that's too much. You got to, as I can see, yeah. That's way too much. But man, yeah, don't underestimate the appeal of breasts or body hair. That yeah. This probably came out like right around the 40 year old virgin, right?
Yeah, no, this one's not so old. About 4 years old. I did this video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I'm glad.
Good for somebody. I don't know if it was good for me, but
well, I mean, your name's out there, so. Millions of people know that you're a hairy guy.
Well, I mean, that's why I said the whole thing about shaving my legs. I'm Italian, so like my hair is already growing in on the roots, and I only dyed my hair like 4 months ago. Like my hair grows at an alarming rate if I don't groom. Like being Italian is to be hairy.
Yeah.
Comes with by the way, just I'm being very cautious with the language, but the guy who dyed your hair, was that the same guy with the back hair?
No.
Okay. Just curious. Yeah, don't go. You don't have to say. I'm just curious.
No. I want to give a shout out to Michael for dyeing my hair, Michael the magician. But he dyes his own hair, and he's very well maintained. He grooms himself.
Yes. That's Michael Vile, the magician that we've had on the show many a time.
His legs are nicer than my legs.
I love magic.
I could have told you that.
Castle.
What's that?
I said I love magic. I was just at the Magic Castle.
Oh cool.
I saw him there.
He's actually in the process of trying to get his membership right now, but he's a very talented magician. He does the whole thing with the crystals and everything, turns them into flowers. He can levitate a lot of stuff. It's pretty cool to watch him play.
If you saw a guy dressed like a pirate, which we probably saw many of them, it might have been him. But
nice.
But speaking of, I wanted to get to the wrestling because I was hanging out with our mutual friend. I'm assuming our mutual friend, but he was at the premiere, so he knows some. He knows somebody knows you. Was Knife Sotelo, the Satanic Rapper, and we were talking, and he was very excited about Alien Danger 2 because you have so many wrestlers in that. You've got Sergeant Slaughter. You got one of the guys from Demolition, and just looking at Leaping Lanny Poffo, and you play the Nacho Man, and all this stuff. But you've had wrestlers in your movies, like almost every movie, there's like a big wrestler that was in there.
Yeah, I love wrestling. I grew up loving wrestling, you know what I mean? So I had to go over the top rope and get some fun cameos.
And, I mean, you know, how do you get like somebody like Sergeant Slaughter?
Sergeant Slaughter, I met at a Mad Monster Party. My old business partner, Evan McGar, runs Mad Monster Party, and he had the Iron Sheik and Sergeant Slaughter. So I met Sergeant Slaughter there, and, you know, we were talking, and I got him to do this thing, and it's great. I mean, he's a guy I usually write dialogue for these guys, and I give him a jump-off point. I say ad-lib, but he pulled it off. He really gave a great performance. So,
wow.
He calls himself Sergeant Slaughter in the movie, so it's cool to see him. Sergeant Slaughter is threatening the villain in Alien Danger 2. You know what I mean? He's going to put him in the Cobra clutch. So,
Go ahead.
I was going to ask if Derek, or no, I said Derek, excuse me. Did Eric Roberts ad lib as well? Because I heard he usually needs like cue cards.
Eric works two ways. He works three ways because he was telling me that. So, first of all, he's amazing on that show. If you haven't seen The Righteous Gemstones, it's incredible. I can't sing
it. It's really good.
And Eric Roberts is like the lead villain on the second season. It's incredible. And that show is just coming out, so it's great. We had him, we were filming in my house, and then like that same night, a new episode came out with Eric Roberts, which is like crazy, right? Like you're working with a celebrity and they're on a major TV show that comes out the same day. Anyway, Eric Roberts is telling me, you know, he works three ways. At Righteous Gemstones, they give him a script, they learn the script, and then they give him one take where he could ad-lib. So when I work with Eric, I like to have him ad-lib because he's brilliant at it. You give him a jump-off point, he says, don't tell me what I'm doing, show me what I'm doing. So you have to perform the scene for Eric as if you are Eric. So I do my best Eric Roberts in front of Eric Roberts, which is always fun. And then he goes to town and he really can stretch a scene or do whatever you want with it. Incredible. But the way a lot of indie people work with him is give him cue cards, because you either have to have a wide plane for him to ad lib, or if you want him to say something specific, he needs cue cards.
Okay. I heard from our, I'm sure you're aware of being an indie horror director. You guys sort of hang in the same circles. I'm not sure if you know Dustin Ferguson, but he told us that Eric has a very specific coffee order, and he was a little standoffish initially, and then was a joy once he got off the initial everybody tiptoeing around him.
You know what? I'm not going to talk smack about other filmmakers. I know Dustin personally. His personality can't hold a candle to mine, so when it comes to being a people person, I could see that as not a surprise,
right? But apparently initially it was a little weird, and then everybody Eric was cool. I mean, it all worked out and he was great.
Eric's incredible, you know what I mean? I am a warm Italian hugging man, so you know, COVID or not, you're getting a hug.
Hear that, Nicole?
Yes. I mean, I still hugged people with COVID. Not people that had COVID, but during the COVID epidemic.
I made it a point to hug as many people with COVID as I could, but
they needed the hugs the most, Mark. They needed
they really did. But you've it's amazing the top talent that you work with, and that I would put Eric Roberts as a top talent. But before we get into some of that and some of those stories, Nicole, tell everybody our other sponsor. which may have something to do with relaxing, getting to know everybody, and then start hugging. And
I was thinking the same thing. I was about to say, speaking of relaxing, we have the pleasure of being sponsored by Renegade CBD and Renegade Kush. These are wonderful products that help with anxiety, depression, and many other things that could just, if you could just relax, and if you could just relax your body and your mind at the same time, that's what CBD does. It gets you in a chill, comfortable state. And we even have bath bombs where you can relax in the tub. So yeah, if you're interested in relaxing and just having a good vibe, check us out at renegadecbd.com and renegadekush.com.
So
Renegade.
Yes, and that's with an A, R-E-N-A-G-A-D-E, Renegade Kush.
And also, Charlie, I want my chocolate.
Charlie, we want our white chocolate and we want it now, okay, Charlie? But which reminds me, this is kind of how I got to know James, is because, and I have to give a shout out to Jennifer Muse from LA Talk Radio, is that she was the one. Very nice. That's a delicious. Is that coffee? What is that?
Oh, it's a boob mug. I see.
Yeah.
It's milk.
It's milk, of course. That's not a lactating mug, obviously, so that's good.
I watched a fascinating documentary on breast milk and the fact that people sell it unregulated over the internet.
People are into everything. They're into body hair. They're into...
In the documentary, I watched a person take their coffee and pour in breast milk and mix it and say that it was high protein for the day. It was kind of mind-blowing.
Right.
I'm listening.
Yeah, no, this is the same. This is the same demographic that buys James's DVDs at Best Buy and Walmart. And you used to say Barnes Best and Noble, but they're not anymore. But what's the breast one again? It's called Sexy Time. And there's a Sexy Time 2 coming out soon?
On the way.
So. I was going to say, I missed my transition from the Renegade CBD to Renegade Kush to our mutual friend. Jennifer Muse from LA Talk Radio was the one who told me about the Alien Danger screening at the Chinese Theater and invited me and got me on the press list on that. Which I really appreciated, because we both work with Tommy Chong. Tommy Chong was on our show, and Tommy Chong is in the first, it was in Alien Danger.
Yeah,
and
he's a really nice guy. I like Tommy a lot.
Tommy Chong's incredible. We filmed at his house in his backyard.
I thought so
for the movie. Yeah, that's his house. What a beautiful place! You're driving down the street, and the home just keeps going and going. I'm like, oh, that's still his house. Pretty cool. So,
and he even put alien ears on.
He did. He was so cool about it. I'm like, wow, he's dipped down.
Was he a different color? Was he blue or green or anything?
I did a music video with the toy dolls. They did a theme song and he was blue. I color corrected him blue for that. And then in the final, film, I left him a human color. I thought that would register a little better.
Yeah, I think a blue Tron is that's too much.
Yeah, I didn't want to blow it.
And, green would be a little too cliche. And
sure. Well, yeah. He plays Lord Green in the film. I thought that was hard elbow.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, green seems like the perfect color for Tommy. Yeah.
Very somewhat of a Yoda type character. These are A-listers. I mean, Rob Halford also.
Oh, wow.
From Judas Priest is in Alien Danger. That kind of looked like a cameo. How did a cameo order somebody to say something and they say it? I mean, was that he just did it on his phone sort of thing?
Yeah, so he lives in Arizona, and I've been trying to get Rob Halford for about 6 years. I did a cameo with Testament, and they were on tour together. And while I was filming with Chuck Billy from Testament, who hits me in the face with a pie in Bite School, I had asked Rob's manager if we could get him to do something. And she was like, oh, it's not going to work out tonight, but here, take my email and let's stay in contact and maybe we'll do something down the line. And we did. So don't ever think that's a blow off, people. Just be persistent. If somebody says, hey, it's not going to work out this time, but it could, you know, be hell-bent. Hell-bent for leather, that is.
Yes, so to speak.
Yeah. I was going to say, whether you like it or not. Rob Halford.
I was gonna go really lowbrow and ask if he had to blow him to get in the movie, but I didn't really. He didn't say no, but But I mean, and you've had Randy Blythe from Lamb of God in your movies. Yeah, I mean, you just go to metal shows and
No, actually, I met Randy Blythe through Dave Brocky at an art show in Brooklyn called the Crackathon. And
The Crackathon.
So there's an interview with me, Dave Brocky dressed as Odorous, Randy Blythe in this talk show kind of fashion at an art show. And then also Alex Skolnick was on the show, player from Testament. And so that's how I got in with Testament. And that's how I got in with Randy from Lamb of God. And, you know, from working with all these metal guys, I send a lot of emails out. I say, hey, I'm a big fan. I make these, you know, fun, independent horror films, horror comedies. I worked with Rob Halford. Do you want to do a cameo? And, you know what I mean? Once you work with Gwar and Rob Halford, you know, these other metal bands, they're just like, oh, you're clearly not just some random stranger approaching me to be in some slasher snuff film. So, yeah, of course, I will. I'll do this thing.
So, I mean, as a guy who grew up with metal and wrestling, I mean, you're just living your dream hanging out with your heroes.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I'm lucky because everybody's been so friendly. And like I said, I'm a hugger. And a lot of these metal guys are horror fans. So, you tell them you got somebody from Nightmare on Elm Street or, you know, a Friday the 13th film. And they're like, oh, I love those movies. You know what I mean? Like the Misfits, they sing about horror movies and these other metal band, like it's very ancestral. Everybody's like, oh, you're working with this and I like that, and so you like this, and let's come together and united we stand, you know what I mean? So that's how it works.
But also you made a lot of I mean, you clearly are a much better you're much better at networking than I am. And trust me, that's not saying much, but you are really good, a really good networker, because you really started just going to horror conventions and just networking with the people around there. How did you get into the horror conventions? That's a whole circuit.
It's a whole thing. I made my first film, Hack Job, in 2011, and I bought a table in New Jersey at Chiller Theater, and I started selling my movies basically out of my car, and I had distribution. My film was on cable TV all over the US and Canada, so I had a little bit of clout, you know, brush my shoulder off there. And you know, being a new guy in that genre, it's very welcoming. Horror fans are amazing. They're like the best genre of fans, because they're like, what is that? I like it. You've got blood and boobs and some horror celebrity or metal band I've heard of. This is great. You know what right. I mean? So instantly people were very receptive to Hack Job, and then, you know, the checks started rolling in, and I made my second film, I Spill Your Guts, and Andrew WK gets his head cut in half in that, and then Dave Brocky from Gwar came back, and then I had united Gwar and Ghoul together through Hack Job, and then Gwar and Ghoul started touring, so then I went to see Gwar and Ghoul, and then I picked up Municipal Waste through that way, and Skeleton Witch, and then I just started like gathering all these cool bands and stuff like that. So like everybody kind of helps each other, and you know, that's how networking works, right? There's that story of the red paper clip. I love that story. That's kind of the same thing with these cameos. You get Gwar, and then you trade Gwar for Judas Priest, and that's how it all kind of works out.
Red paper clip. I don't know that one.
You don't know that story? It's a great story. So this guy traded a red paper clip. So he like found a guy. He's like, I'll trade you this red paper clip for a hat. And it was like a rare hat. So then he takes that hat and he gives it to somebody else that's got a motorcycle that really wanted that hat. And he doesn't sell it. He just trades it. And he trades this red paper clip all the way up to a house.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
I need to go back to school and go to
the internet. It's not a fairy tale. It's a real
story. No, I'm sure it is. I've heard of it.
And so, you know, it's become like a common practice thing for people to talk about, like this red paperclip thing. And that's kind of what it's like with the cameos. I got Guar, and then I called Skeleton Witch. I said, hey, I just did this movie with Guar. I know you guys are going on tour. Do you guys want to do a cameo? I'm going to be at that show. And Unearth was there. And that's how I got Ken Susie, who's the guitar player from Unearth. He's right. In a new movie from Dust Till Bong with Randy Blythe. You know, so it just
from Dust Till Bong, just
from Dust Till Bong. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
the title's very green. So forgive me.
What's that?
It's very green.
I would imagine it would be.
I'm going green.
You're going green. Yes. You're very quite the environmentalist and going green.
That's me. Captain Planet.
Exactly. I can see happening the Captain Planet. Yeah. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was curious. You had a dog. What's your dog's name? Tell us about your dog.
I have three dogs.
Three dogs.
I have Alf, who is a Shorky. He's a Shih Tzu and a Yorkie. I've had Alf for about 4 years now. He's in my movie, The Lich, which has Tom Sizemore in it. That's also available at Walmart, Best Buy, Barnes & Noble. And then I got two puppies at the same time. And now my life at home is more chaos. So I've got a girlfriend, a stepdaughter, and three dogs. I live in a madhouse, and then celebrities come through my home every other day. So I live in a war zone.
It's yes, you're living the American dream. Yes, The Lich came out about the same time as The Vavitch, but the Lich. Now, Tom Sizemore, how was he to work with? I've heard that.
Amazing.
I mean, what you hear in the news is one thing, but I've heard people that have actually worked with him say he's great.
He is great. And Tom taught me some really fun in front of the camera steps, which is very similar to a box step. I've never seen that movement before. And he kind of did like a box step, and he was like, this way I never have my back to camera. It was really cool. So, I thank Tom Sizemore for that.
So you will never have your back to the camera again.
Never. I mean, he really sized up.
Yeah, you got to do that Sizemore box step in every movie that you're in now.
That's it.
That goes to show he's always been a terrific actor, and just
more than I could ask for.
I can imagine. That's what I understand. And did he do any crazy ad-libbing? Because I know he's ad-libbed on other movies and just really made him so much better.
He did do some ad-libbing. Like I said, that's kind of the way I like to roll. I give him a jump-off point, and I go, okay, play with it. Let's take one.
But I hear the little furry guys running around. Now, let me ask you, I haven't seen –
You haven't
seen what? It's okay. I've only seen your quote unquote friendly movie. Look at that. Wait a second. Look at that dog.
Friendly.
I've only seen your quote unquote friendly movies, the Alien Danger series.
I'm sorry, what? You've only seen what?
I've only seen the Alien Danger movies, but I've seen the trailers for some trailers that I didn't have to pay for some of your other movies. What's the grossest scene that you ever shot?
Oh, gross in which way? Because, it's
hard to look at.
Oh, in The Lich, there's a demon that shoots boogers out of his nose at me. And we had like a whole tube rig.
Gross.
Yeah, I know. It's not what you wanted to hear.
Well, I was curious, and I saw a little bit of that in the trailer. What did you use for the stunt?
We use something called Methocluse. It's what they use for McDonald's milkshakes. It's like a cleaning agent.
That's gross. That's gross.
It's also used for horse lubricant.
Horse lubricant?
Yeah.
I was, Astroglide's not good enough. They got to have something like a special lubricant for the horses.
I mean, horses are, they're well hung, man. Like, they're big.
Well, but their asses are big too. I guess their assholes aren't as big as their, yeah, okay. But
no one's lubing up the horse's assholes. I mean,
somebody would have to if they have horse lubricant. Somebody has to lubricate them.
I don't think
the horse can't lubricate itself.
Well, I was talking about studying, which doesn't involve the asshole at all.
That's just for funsies.
You think a horse is with their hind leg, like, good applying the lubricant to itself?
This doesn't count.
No, I think that you apply the lubricant to the horse member, not the asshole.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is where the interview took a hard right turn, right?
It usually does. I mean, like I said, we don't
really... We're on the same page, so it was definitely...
Yes, as you can see, we don't really... have set topics or questions. We just kind of roll with it, and the interviews usually break down about this point and get really weird. But
it's okay. People like it.
No, we love it. We love it. We can talk.
Hey, about you want to see a magic trick?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Okay.
Talk while you do it, though, so it stays on camera.
Is this your card?
No.
No, I'm sorry. It's mine. I'll save that for later. And thank you. Thank you.
Very good. Very good.
And you thought
you might want to learn a couple more tricks before you apply for that magic castle.
Yeah, maybe one or two.
Yeah, that might help. But Alien Danger with Raven Van Slender. Now, here's the weird thing. Now, how did you come up with the name Raven Van Slender? Because I got to be honest. The leading man, who's great, I his name is escaping me right now.
Bill Victor Arukin.
Yes, he's fantastic, but he's not quite slender.
He's like me, you know, he eats well. So Raven Van Slender was a character that I came up for him in Bite School 2, and he did a segment where he is a cryptozoologist, and it was a spoof on William Shatner, and I liked his performance so much, I said, what if this cryptic zoologist gets beamed up into space to help save this alien planet? And you know what I mean? I came up with this idea and he said, yeah, let's do it. And just like that, this thing took off and took over my life for the last year. We filmed two of these movies, premieres at the Chinese Theater. We've got action figures on the way and, you know, a board game and a video game in development and a cartoon show in the works with a network. It's really becoming something.
I was going to say, this is Nicole. This is like Sid and Marty Krofft doing different drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much it's kind of an Adult Swimmy sort of thing.
Okay.
If I could describe the both of those describe it, I mean pretty indescribable.
Yeah, it's it's like a good acid trip on a kids show.
It's got the stop motion animation was most impressive. Now, who did that?
Richard Svensson. He's from Sweden, and he's incredible. He works tirelessly to do this. I don't know if you're familiar with how stop animation works, but let me stop and take a minute to describe it to you.
Hello.
you have a puppet with a wire frame, and the body's usually made out of foam or latex, and then you move it. Because it's a camera, so you take a picture, and then when you put those all together, you get like a nice kind of wave. But all that takes about 24 hours, so the more motion you have, the more time consuming, and your life seems to fade away. But Richard's life translates well on the screen, so it looks beautiful.
It was, yeah, I mean, I was so impressed with that. I know what it takes to do it, and it's you're not doing it with computers like the Tim Burton movies.
No, it's all old-fashioned stop motion.
So the
Ray Harryhausen technique, you know, shoot a frame, move it.
Because it looks even though there's it's a little slightly more jagged than like the real slick Tim Burton sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It actually looks a little more realistic that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the fluidity is beautiful. And, you know, I love fluidity.
I'll take your word for it.
That's why I'm drinking.
Yeah, that's why you drink out of a titty cup. But, I mean, this is a mixture of live action, animation, stop motion. It's just, it's kind of like this interview. It goes all over the place.
All over.
You never know what's gonna happen next. You know, first you got Rob Halford and Tommy Chong, and then you got the James is Hungry, and then you got some light kid friendly S&M. You got some it's
that's true. That's in there.
There's all sorts of stuff. You got psychedelic 60s dancing and a lot of stuff. And this is not the only film that you have shot at our friend Carl Cruz. California Institute of Abnormal Arts.
That's true. And Carl's in it too. Carl does a great job. Yes,
he
is. Yeah.
He was the best dressed at the premiere, I got to say.
Yeah. You know, my memory's a little fuzzy about that coat.
Yeah, he wore a fur coat to the premiere, Nicole, our friend Carl Crew from the CIA. But the CIA is just, it's great production value in and of itself. So that's got to be great.
Mm-hmm.
So what prompted you, did you have like a hard R horror version of Raven von Slender, or was it always let's try to, you know, make it a little more mainstream, a little more kid friendly?
No, from the start it was a kid's movie, which I was, you know, gung-ho about, because I have a stepdaughter and she can't watch anything that I make. So she's in the first It Wants Blood, but sadly she couldn't see it because of all the terrible things in there. So I wanted to make something that she could watch and her friends could watch. It was cool. All of her friends got to come to the premiere. So then I was the cool dad.
Well, I mean, not only that, they got to go to the premiere at the Chinese Theater.
Oh, and yeah. They all rode in the limo. They felt cool. They're like, yeah, hey, Hollywood kids.
I mean, I know it's a tax write-off, but is it to rent the Chinese Theater? It's got to be like a little bit of cash to throw out the red carpet and all that. I'm sure that's all tax deductible, though, right?
No, it is. Everything is, right?
Yeah.
Gotta love the government. You have to.
And to see it on that big a screen is fantastic.
I mean, it's easy to say it's the most notable theater, not only in Hollywood, in the world. I mean, that's Indiana Jones, Star Wars. So for me, it still blows my mind to have had four films play at that theater. You know what I mean? I think people are still so shocked. Like, who let you in there? Who let you in the Chinese? How did that happen? You know what I mean? Because it is a regal, pristine honor to be there, and you know, I'm honored. And it's cool, they have a secret balcony where Steven Spielberg and George Lucas watched their new film. So I was sitting up there with the producers watching the last film, and it's just what a cool thing.
Super. Were Steven and George up there with you, or?
Oh yeah, they live up there. They have like a whole apartment. So I'm like, hey Stevie, when are we gonna do that movie together?
And apparently, from what I understand, Raven von Slender is going to save Christmas pretty soon.
He did. We filmed that. That's a fun one. Andy Dick smashes a gingerbread house.
as only Andy Dick can.
Yeah.
Now, did you get sober, very talented, very cool Andy Dick, or did you get problematic Andy Dick?
Oh, no, Andy's great. I've done a few films with Andy. He plays the lead werewolf in my film, Hollywood Werewolf. So
where could you get that?
We're still editing that one. That's not out.
Okay. Yet,
but that's going to be a fun one.
Andy Dick plays a werewolf.
He plays a werewolf.
Well, there's typecasting right there.
I know. It's a real howl.
I can. Haven't you played a werewolf?
I play a werewolf every day of my life.
No, but I wasn't there a movie that you played a werewolf? Or?
I don't think I did.
Not yet. Okay.
I was going to be the werewolf in Hollywood Werewolf. But now we've kind of changed it to like American Movie meets American Werewolf in London, which is a great segue because John Landis is in Alien Danger 2.
Yes, he is. I was going to get to that. as a director, you got to be a fan of John Landis, right?
Oh my God, so many incredible movies. Animal House.
And in my opinion, the greatest comedy director of all time. Animal House, Blues Brothers, Coming to America.
Spies Like Us. I mean,
Spies the Like Us.
Thriller music Friend. Video. Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Well, you know, everybody's got a dud here and there, but
that's a fun film. Ray Harryhausen has a cameo in that.
I gotta watch that again. I haven't seen it since the first time I saw it. But
did you know George Lucas is also in that movie? George Lucas and Ray Harryhausen have cameos. It's great for that.
And John Singleton and I think Todd Solondz too.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, we're geeking out on John Landis, and Nicole's just about to probably pop in with a Max Landis story, but
no.
But we're geeking out about John Landis, and have you seen Slasher's documentary? That's fantastic.
Yeah, but, no, he's incredible, and I was blown away. I got him to say yes, and it was cool. When I met him, I was wearing a Nothing But Trouble t-shirt, and his wife did all the design for that film. She did all the costume design.
Well, I didn't know that.
And she did the costume design for Indiana Jones. And, you know, all of his stuff and some other great movies. If you look up John Landis's wife, she's incredible.
I scared John Landis's wife once.
Oh.
I was at Amoeba Records, and I went up to John Landis. I was very, I was like, just an honor to meet you. I think you're the greatest comedy director. And I was actually promoting a comedy show. So I was trying to give him a flyer, and she like was literally dragging him away from me. This happened when I met Kevin Smith too. His wife literally dragged him away from me because we were just having a great chat. Same with me and John Landis. And then I saw him at a signing a couple years later. I was like, "Yeah, your wife totally dragged you away from me." He's like, "Don't take that personally. She does that to everybody." But apparently, she doesn't, because you had a Nothing But Trouble t-shirt. And by the way, Nothing
But
Trouble.
There. In all fairness, she wasn't there.
Okay. Oh, there you go. I guess there you go. And I got to be honest, Nothing But Trouble, underrated.
Very underrated. He said that was the film that killed Dan Aykroyd's directing career, which is sad because that movie is amazing.
Tupac's acting debut.
Yeah.
Movie debut. But
Shocky
G. I always tell people you have to be in the mood for it, because I was reading a couple times where I put it on. It's like, I'm not in the mood for this. But if you're in the mood,
it's amazing.
It's great. It's great. But I mean, you just ran into John Landis on the street and started filming?
So I'm not going to give away my secrets, but I've got somebody on the inside that said, "Hey, John Landis is here." So we got the camera. We were doing post-production on Alien Danger 2, and we were like, "Do you want to go get a John Landis cameo?" And so, you know, we approached him, and, you know, he said yes. So it was incredible.
That's great. I'm a big fan of Landis. I think he's the best comedy director ever. But I don't know what happened with Beverly Hills Cop 3, but I've heard some stories. Anyway, but neither here nor there. I mean, so do you think your future is still going to be in horror, or you think you're going to really go into the family friendly direction now?
I think I'll probably jump the gamut. You know, Catch of the Day, which I made in 2014 through 2015, was an action horror comedy, so I tried to go action, and so I'm in development with a new action movie now. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
but you're kind of in that Sam Raimi sort of horror Spider-Man. You got to take a direction.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Sam Raimi did a wonderful Western with Leonardo DiCaprio.
And Sharon Stone,
So you never know. And he filmed it. The cinematography is very similar to Evil Dead. So, you know, you could kind of hold your style and I think transition and do all sorts of stuff as a filmmaker. I mean, look at Peter Jackson, right? He went from Dead Alive and Meet the Feebles to Frighteners, which was kind of a commercial horror movie, and then Lord of the Rings.
Well, that leads me to the next question. By the way, Nicole, all this geeky talk for the last 5-10 minutes is because we both work in video stores, so we've seen all these like weird movies that probably most people have not seen.
I'm a big Peter Jackson fan, so
Have you seen, so
you've seen Dead or Alive and Meet the Feebles?
No. I've seen Friday.
Have you seen Dead Alive's Incredible? And then what about Bad Taste? Have you ever heard of that one?
Which one? No. Bad Taste?
Bad Taste is his first movie, and it's unbelievable. Really fun gore, in which he helped like do a lot of the effects for. And it's amazing. It's really wacky.
Dead Alive is probably the most disgusting movie I've ever seen in my life.
That soup scene, huh?
Although I haven't seen James Balsamo's, all of his voix, but yes, there's literally intestines, bloody intestines on the ground moving. So it's pretty gross.
It's the pudding scene. That's what gets me. The ear and the pudding.
It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. But I was going to say, if Blumhouse or even Marvel offered you a big budget movie, would you be ready for it and would you jump on it?
Oh yeah, I love money. You know, I'm like Dan Shepard in Idiocracy. I like money, so you know what I mean.
Right. Another obscure video fav.
I'm not for sale. Let's just say that.
have you had any offers?
No, nobody's knocking down my door, which is cool. I mean, people start to come out of the woodwork now. They're like, hey, let's talk about making a movie, which I have a whole consulting thing on my website because I started doing that for other people. You know what I mean? I produced Hanukkah, which was Sid Haig's last film, and Dick Miller's last film, and that's the first Jewish slasher film ever. And it was really great to help Evan McGar on that film. So, you know, I do it from time to time, other people's, you know, dreams and projects and stuff like that.
So if you have a beloved
money.
Exactly. So if you have a beloved character actor that you want to die, make sure that James Balsamo is producing the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kidding, of course. I Sid Haig and Dick Miller were great. And it's amazing that you got to work with them while you can.
Yeah, you know, when I was producing Hanukkah, we were doing a wig fitting for Sid Haig, and nobody else, he was living, we had an office in Studio City, and he drove all the way out from far, I forget where he was living at the time, it was like Huntington Beach, or, you know, it was like an hour and a half away, and he had just come for this wig fitting, and then everyone else had to run and do something, so I was left alone with Sid Haig, and I was like, hey, can I take you out to lunch? And he wouldn't let me pay for it. And he told me all these great stories about his childhood. And it was amazing. You know what I mean? So I really got to spend some good quality time. And I'd known Sid from doing conventions with him over the years. You know what I mean? We've had a few meals together. But that was a really cool, intimate moment because he had really opened up. He unfortunately had cancer and it was getting bad quickly. So he really, really told me some cool stuff. So that's my best Hanukkah story.
Now, was Hanukkah shot before Three from Hell or after?
It was shot before. It was shot like right at the same time.
Okay.
And, Sid probably is in Hanukkah more than he is Three from Hell. And then Hanukkah premiered at the Chinese Theater, I think, right after it had come out. So technically, Hanukkah's Sid Haig's last film.
No, I got that. I just was wondering because he looked pretty frail in Three from Hell. So
yeah, you know, it was rough. Like I knew Sid for about a decade, and he was always a thick guy from when I knew him. So when he had gotten that skinny, it was heartbreaking. You know what I mean? It really was rough.
Right. Well, I don't want to end the show on a bummer. And I appreciate it. I mean, you got so many stories. And I hope you come back, and hopefully we can get you in studio with somebody with big breasts and we can figure something out, but you know, and we'll get some Fireball and mix up with your hot sauce. We'll see what happens.
We'll bring some Tito's or something. Yeah. I want him to be able to drink.
All right.
Yes. But I did want to ask your production company is Acid Bath Productions, and your logo, your animated logo is so great. Who did that?
Brittany Magone, and her logo changed my entire production company. So I was making movies under the company Tortured Soul Productions, and I had just changed it to Acid Bath Pictures. And a friend of mine said, hey, I know this woman. She just got into animation. You know, she said she would love to draw your logo. So I said, okay, her name is Brittany McGone. And she draws the logo. And then it opens up. And then it says Acid Bath Productions. And I go, oh, my God, she wrote the wrong title on there. But it's so amazing. I guess I'm now the CEO of Acid Bath Productions. And that's how that happened. So there's a few short films out on the internet that say Acid Bath Pictures. And then my first feature came out Acid Bath Productions. And the rest is a tortured history.
Yes. It's I wish you continued success. I think the Alien Danger series already, I'm very entertained. And I can't wait to see some of your really disgusting horror movies. I haven't said, and I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on. Promote as I know only you can everything you got going on and how people get a hold of you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. And then here, let me just flip the switch. Hey, everybody, James Balsamo here. Thank you so much for listening and having me on this wonderful show. You can follow me on Instagram at James Balsamo. Make that little birdie fly on Twitter at Acid Bath Product. And don't forget to find me on Facebook. I want to be your friend. And if you ever want to make a movie, go to jamesbalsamo.com. Send me an email, or you could pick up some hot sauce t-shirts or all my fun films on DVD, Blu-ray, and VHS. That's right. That's it. We're going to tape this one up right here. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, James. And Nicole, how do people get a hold of you? And you got to do that voice, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. I pulled in a breath to try, and it's just not going to happen. I'm at Nicole Six Books on Instagram, and I'm Nicole H Six on Facebook. And I'm still working on my book of poetry, I promise. I've just been distracted by many things at the same time. So it'll be out shortly.
Yes. James was pointing at himself. He's directed 25 movies this year, and you can't get a book of poetry out. But when it does come out, I'm sure it will be fantastic. And I am Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys. That was fun.
Thanks, James. It was a blast. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks. I appreciate you doing the show. And it's going to be on radio on Friday. It's going to be on Podcast Catcher Sunday, and it's going to be on YouTube next week. And I'll tag you every chance I get. So you'll be tagged a bunch this week.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was good hanging. I'm doing another premiere on the 22nd. So I'm going to make the announcement tomorrow, but that's going to be at the Landmark. So,
okay. Yeah. I'll tell Nicole. I definitely,
Landmark New Art. I don't know if you've been down there. It's where they used to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh yeah. In Santa Monica.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I know the place. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
What's this going to be?
The Alien Danger 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'll tell Nicole. I don't know if she has it in her schedule, but I'll try to I'll definitely be there.
Cool, man.
Thanks, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one. Thanks.
You too. Sorry the show was a little random, but that's the way we do it.
Oh, no. It was great. It's fun.
But I had a great time. You were great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Take it easy.